be seated.
Thank you, Keith and Shirley. If you're keeping track, this is the second week of Advent with the focus on peace in the anticipated arrival of the Prince of Peace. I'm going to light the candles of hope, which was last week, and peace. Hopefully. I tested them yesterday and I had them working. Well, oh well, God knows what's in our hearts. Today, as we take a look at peace, I want you to recall a memory or an idea of what you picture, and we've kind of done this already this morning, in your mind when you think about Christmas peace. Perhaps you're thinking about the lyrics of the song we just sang, "Peace on Earth, Goodwill to Men." So imagine, if you will, this scene. It's nighttime near Bethlehem. It could be just after the sky has turned to night, or it could be midnight. We really don't know. It's dark, the sky is clear, and the stars are brightly shining. The shepherds are settling in for the night. Some are sleeping while others are on guard duty. You might hear a few baas from the sheep as they too are resting. Maybe there's a jingle of a bell. I'm not sure if sheep had bells back then. But all in all, it's peaceful. Now let's look at the first part of our scripture from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." I don't know about you, but my peaceful night with the shepherds was just shattered by the appearance of first an angel of the Lord, and then the heavenly hosts, the angels of the armies of heaven, as the New Living Translation puts it, with the announcement of Christ's birth, and then the pronouncement of peace on earth. The shepherds were terrified, and rightly so. Wouldn't you be? If I were one of those shepherds, first I'd be pinching myself to see if I was awake or even still alive. Then when the shock wore off, I would be wondering about this strange announcement of the birth of a baby, the Messiah. Next, I'd be asking myself, what did they mean when they said or sang, "Peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests"? I think a bit of background about these particular shepherds might be in order here. Then we'll come back around to peace on earth. While preparing for this message, I came across some ideas about the sheep and the shepherds that I don't remember hearing before, and perhaps you haven't either. Most of us recall hearing about David and how he was a shepherd when God called him to become the king of Israel. The area around Bethlehem was where he spent his time in the fields. So first of all, it's fitting that the birthplace of our Savior and King, our shepherd, would be in Bethlehem. That, plus the fact that Joseph and Mary were of the line of the house of David, the line from which the promised Messiah would come, and they were in Bethlehem because of the required census. But this next tidbit I found interesting. The sheep that grazed around Bethlehem were probably not just ordinary sheep. Because of the proximity of the fields to Jerusalem, the sheep raised here were intended to be temple sheep, the lambs that would be sacrificed on the altar to atone for sin. Do you see the correlation to Jesus born in Bethlehem? Being the Lamb, the Son of God, whose life was sacrificed in order to bring atonement for sin for all who believe in him. So what does this have to do with the shepherds? Well, because of their work, they were considered to be ceremonially unclean. They were required to assist with the birthing of the lambs, which meant coming into contact with blood. One reason in Jewish society for being unclean, but also for taking care of the ones that died. A second reason for being unclean. And not only that, because they had to stay with their flocks for weeks at a time, their work did not allow them to come to the temple so that they themselves could be cleansed. No wonder they were considered the outcast of society. Yet God chose them to be the bearers of the message from the angels about the birth of Jesus. They were so excited about the news that I don't think any of them had time to remember that they were ceremonially unclean. All we know is that they did what the angels said, found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and then told everyone they came in contact with that the Messiah had been born in Bethlehem. So what does this have to do with peace? Peace is a word that has been used sometimes flippantly in our society without a whole lot of thought. We've all probably heard the beauty contestant who breathlessly says, "All I want is world peace." Or consider this quote I found by Anthony Bourdain, a chef and TV personality, who said, "Barbecue may not be the road to world peace, but it's a start." You know, there really could be some truth in that. So let's explore the definition of peace. Some dictionary definitions say that peace is a state of tranquility or quiet, such as freedom from civil disturbance or the absence of war. Peace can also mean freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, mental calm or serenity, harmony in personal relations, and finally, it can be used to ask for silence, as in a mother's cry for, "Can I just have some peace and quiet?" or calm, and as a greeting or farewell. However, none of these definitions get at the meaning of true biblical peace or shalom. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, with the Greek equivalent being Eirene. That's for your biblical scholars out there. And if you knew that shalom was the word for peace, then you are a biblical scholar too. Shalom brings with it a sense of completeness, soundness, wholeness, welfare, or well-being. So to make shalom, using it as a verb, is to restore to completeness or wholeness. Therefore, in the context of the Luke passage, shalom peace refers to the restoration of the relationship between God and man, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Our Old Testament passage in Micah refers to the coming of the ruler or the leader out of Bethlehem who will lead his flock, and he will be the source of peace. Isaiah 9:6 refers to him as the Prince of Peace. You may have noticed the new banners that we have for Christmas, one over here and one in the lobby that has part of the verse of Isaiah 9:6. I was joking we had to buy more banners to get the whole verse. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Therefore, Jesus, the baby born as the Messiah, will bring shalom, making complete or whole, by restoring us, humans, back to a right relationship with God, which was his intent from the beginning. Peace is then having a right relationship with God. Thomas Merton, a Trappist monk who is one of my favorite devotional writers, said, "Man is not at peace with his fellow man because he is not at peace with himself. He is not at peace with himself because he is not at peace with God." Think about that. Now the question is, peace, do you have it? Let me reiterate what Pastor Keith said in his prayer. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior by believing that he came into the world as a baby, God in human flesh, that he lived and breathed as a human, yet sacrificed his life, bled his blood for the redemption and salvation of your soul, our souls, to restore the broken relationship between you and God with the future promise of shalom, complete and full relationship with God, then yes, you should be able to say, "I have peace." However, if you have not taken the opportunity to surrender your heart and your life and accept this gift from God, I urge you today to take this step of faith, to acknowledge him that you are a sinner, broken and in need of restoration, and invite him to take control of your life and accept his peace. And if you have already done this, but whatever reason, you feel that you do not have peace with God, perhaps this is a time to make a recommitment, to realign yourself with God's purpose and direction for your life. If this is where you see yourself at this moment, and you desire to make either of these decisions and want guidance in this, please see me or Pastor Keith, or come to the prayer corner after the service, where the prayers are willing to walk you through the steps towards a right relationship with God. I repeat, peace, do you have it? Now then, the question before us is, what should our response be to this peace? Let's continue in the Luke 2 passage, verses 16 through 20. So they, remember we're talking about the shepherds, hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Our first response to peace should be that it brings out our witness for God. If we have accepted the peace of Christ in our own lives, then shouldn't we want to be as bold and perhaps as reckless as the shepherds who were in the eyes of the world unclean and unworthy in telling others about this gift that God gave to us? In John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." After the recent J. Smith event, and hearing about how he witnesses to and debates with Muslims, I've had a few conversations with some of you about how we as the church and as Christ followers should be more bold in telling others about what God has done in our lives. We need to be telling that story, the whole story, not just the Christmas story. I know I need to be more forthcoming with what God has done in my life. Remember that our words may open the way of life, way for the life-changing grace and peace of God to impact lives around us. Now, our second response is that peace brings out our praise to God. Both Mary and the shepherds demonstrated their praise to the Lord for the coming of Jesus, the peace of the world, albeit in very different ways. The shepherds knew that they had received a special message from God and had been given the privilege to be the first to see the promised child. We should also be praising God for coming for us, for what we call the first Christmas, as well as for his promise to return to earth again to ultimately restore shalom, peace. Psalm 67 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." That should always be on our lips. In this time of Advent and this festive season, we can celebrate the hope, peace, joy, and love that was given to us through the cradle of the baby Jesus. But let's not forget to celebrate the hope, peace, joy, and love that we can receive because of Jesus' work on the cross. We cannot have the cross without the cradle. Let us leave here today, not only thanking and praising God for the gift of Christmas, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, but for his gift that keeps on giving through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the promise of a fully restored peace, shalom, when he comes to reign forever. Let's pray. God, we thank and praise you for the peace of Christmas and what that truly means for those of us who follow you. We ask for your Spirit to infuse our lives so that we may live with boldness, telling others about the peace that passes all understanding. May we live our lives in such a way that, as Peter says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." We ask for your strength to do this, Lord, and in your name we pray. Amen.
On Wednesday evening, we're all going to have the opportunity to minister to those who are shut-ins or not able to be at church on a regular basis and take the celebration of Christmas to them with caroling. So we're going to finish our service with a little rehearsal, a little practice. We're going to sing "What Child Is This?" 152 in your hymnal. No instruments, just the voices God gave us. So let's stand. It's 152. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Verse 3. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, shepherd king, to own him. The King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Let us consider the words of the verses in Colossians. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Go and share the peace of Christ in Christmas with those around you today.